My subject this Sunday is service to God and what that looks like in a mature believer. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Peter 4. First, let me say, I'm delighted to have you all here with me on this beautiful spring day. Everything is popping up and looking beautiful, except my backyard. It has problems. That's not a surprise. Not a surprise to me because it's been overgrown the last few years, but it's even more overgrown now. It's like a jungle back there. I've not taken our backyard very seriously over the years, and we are paying the price for it now. Had I pursued it several years ago and sort of kept after it, it would be different than this. It would be changed and for the better. This week, my backyard and 1 Peter 4 got me thinking of some questions. Do I sometimes feel my Christian life looks like this backyard? Am I satisfied that my Christian walk and service are where I want them to be at this moment? Am I on track? Is my service to God having the impact it should? Well, today we're going to look at ways we can be sure we're moving in the right direction in our service to God. Now, we've been talking for a couple of months about this subject of marks of maturity. And Scott, in one of the messages that he had, he told us that maturity is taking the teachings of God seriously. I like that as kind of a functional description. So we're going to start there. So we're going to imagine that person who's fully mature as a Christian and already spiritually seasoned. This is the person who has taken the teachings of God seriously, followed them for decades. They've really been sincere, really been after it. They get it. So we're going to read 1 Peter 4 and get an idea of what full maturity is supposed to look like when we're serving others. And that'll be where we start and move on from there. So in 1 Peter 4, we read this. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word and the opportunities we have here to study it better and understand the God we serve. Take your word this morning, apply it to our hearts and our minds so that our lives may ultimately bring glory to you. Amen. All right, this is a terrific passage on spiritual gifts. It's one of four passages that talk about spiritual gifts in the New Testament. And I'll be mentioning those briefly in a few minutes. But as we review these verses, there are three characteristics that a mature Christian has. The person whose life lines up with what God has, the teachings of God that they're following. This mature person that is really, really absorbed these lessons and has been through the battles of the Christian life and learned from them. So we're going to highlight these characteristics. We're going to talk about what steps we have to do to move toward these traits. And then thirdly, we're going to give you some indicators to tell you if you're on track or drifting a little. So a mature Christian is characterized in this passage. Let's see where. First of all, a mature Christian is aimed at God and his glory. That's kind of the primary compass point for them. That's where their whole life, the needle just keeps moving right to that point and stays there. You know, life can spin them around. Life can knock them off their feet. But eventually, that needle swings back to due north, straight to Christ. It is their life. It's their reference point for everything. It's like the guiding star to the destination they want to arrive at. It's their hope. it always seems to be included in part of their prayers. Glory to God. You know, Peter's not the only one to talk about a fixed focus point. Paul, as he often does, gets really clear and specific here. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So there's an article by Pastor Garrett Kell who talks about his early years in ministry. He says, and in his own words, he says, "We in seminary, we were encouraged to find an area of service, so I jumped into college ministries in a local church. The leader of the college ministry had been around long enough and been around young men to know I needed to learn a lesson. So before the first gathering of the year, John said he had an important opportunity for me. I assumed he wanted me to share my testimony or preach, so I showed up ready. Instead of leading me on stage, though, he led me backstage, pointed to a rope. I would be serving those on stage by opening and closing the curtain. With each tug of the rope, my frustration increased, my hands burned, and my heart criticized the speakers. If I were out there, God would use me powerfully. Then it hit me. If I couldn't be just as joyful back here where no one can see me as I would be out there where everyone can see me, then I am seeking my glory and not yours. I was serving God with mixed emotions. I hoped lost people would be saved, but I wanted to be the evangelist God used. I desired Christians to be encouraged, but I wanted to be the instrument of edification. I wanted people to think God was awesome. And truth be told, that I was too. There's a fine line between wanting God to use you for his glory and wanting everyone to know it. There's a fine line between pure worship and idolatry. We must give careful attention to our hearts so we don't seek to steal glory from Jesus. Have you ever heard of photobombing? I usually feel like I'm the last person to know. I've known about it for years, so you must. But it is when a person moves into the frame of a photograph as it's being taken as a joke or a prank. And then some people have fun with it and create their own photobomb situations. The word was first used in 2008, so it's a recent phenomenon. But you know what? We can photobomb Jesus. In fact, we are really, really good at it. When Jesus is in the frame for glory, we can get our head in there. That's stealing glory from Jesus. Mature people, they've mastered this. They've learned how to avoid that snare and that trap. They've learned to keep the field clear so that the glory photograph is of Jesus. God wants to do great things through us, but when we look for affirmations from others, even when they're great things that have happened, it steals glory away from Jesus. So then the next characteristic is that the mature believer understands and exercises his or her role in the body of Christ. One way Paul presents believers in the book of Ephesians is through the metaphor of a building or a body. So you read things like this. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together, talking about believers, and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Another part of Ephesians. His intent was now through the church that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus. So this building that God is building his church into, the body that he's placed us in, it has a purpose, it has a goal, and in some way, how we operate in the body not only just affects the body, but then the body as the goal for that is to display God's wisdom and God's glory. Another section of Ephesians, he says, exhorting them to speak the truth in love, he says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who's the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love. How? As each part does its work. So the bottom line is that mature believers get this big picture. They understand not just sort of what they can do in the body of Christ, but they understand the body. They understand what it's for, what God's trying to do here. They realize it's an extension of Christ himself, a reflection of Christ. It's like a temple that brings glory to him and grows and works properly because each member is using his gift, his spiritual gift, to help the body grow in love. Because of that, these mature Christians work to figure out the spiritual gift God's given them. They work to develop that gift and then focus their efforts on serving in the area of their gift. As I said, there are four passages in the Bible that talk about spiritual gifts. Each one gives a list. Each one talks about them and talks about them in a little different way. One of the interesting characteristics between the lists is that Romans and Corinthians, all but Peter, each one ascribes the giving of gifts to a different member of the Godhead. So I think it's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that it says the Spirit gives the gifts. And so the whole Godhead's involved in this. This is a critical part of what God's trying to do with us. And the mature believer gets spiritual gifts, how God's given us one. 1 Corinthians talks all about that. And that we need, that's where God's going to bring spiritual fruit out of what we do. You know, the difference between an evangelist and you and me is that we can share the gospel, and we do share the gospel, and God takes his word, takes that gospel, and uses it with other people's work of sharing the gospel and so on, and eventually brings that person to Christ. Evangelist is often the person that God brings in there to sort of bring that to fruition. They see a tremendous number of people come to know the Lord from what they say. We have a role in planting that seed as well, but we're not going to see all the fruit that they get. That's their spiritual gift. We're encouraged to do all of these things, but a mature person understands that they've got a spiritual gift, and their most effective use in the body is to identify that gift and work in that area because their combination of personality, talents, sort of experiences, and spiritual gift combine to make a unique contribution to the body of Christ. Well, back to the characteristics. The third one is that the mature believer acts as a steward of God's grace. It's the second red line there on the screen. A mature believer who's focused on God and his glory and who understands how God wants his people and the church to operate also accepts the responsibility of giving out God's grace to other people. You ever thought about that? We're stewards of God's grace in various forms. And we play that role as we serve others. Mature people not only understand this, but they take that on. We've all received grace from God. And a mature believer knows part of our job is to ultimately represent God on earth. That's why we're being made into the image of Christ. But God's grace is not just the gospel message. He wants to work through us to bring his grace to other people. We're sort of where the rubber meets the road. God delivers grace to us independent of people, but he uses people more often to bring his grace into their lives. So it's not just the gospel message. We know that. We know that grace can be contained in a cup of cold water, a visit, a word of encouragement, an offer of hospitality, financial help, a bowl of soup in bed, spending some of our precious time, mowing a lawn, being available, making a phone call, sharing a truth, repairing a roof, really listening, maybe teaching a class, or holding a baby, or just being there. But what's important about those things is that they all are a means that God uses to encourage that person spiritually, to challenge them spiritually. And that's His grace. And that's just the beginning of a list of God's grace in its various forms. And our job is to get that grace out. Okay, that's a look at what Peter outlined as the characteristics of maturity. Mature Christian is aimed at God and His glory. Mature Christians understand their role in the body of Christ. They act as stewards of God's grace. Okay, this is real helpful. But I want to go a little deeper than that to make this useful. We've got our picture of kind of how a mature person operates. I don't know if you've met people that have these characteristics. I sure have. I've seen people that from my viewpoint, man, they really have these things going. And that's inspiring to me. But let's get some practical things. How can we get from here to there? Well, they're stepping stones. First of all, and I'm going to suggest a few, these aren't, I'm not suggesting these are the only steps to maturity, but I think these are key steps for good reason. Number one is the yieldedness to God. That's really a starting point, isn't it? That's the fundamental. Our lives aren't about us, they're about God and what God's doing. You know, my spell checker doesn't like the word yieldedness. Don't know if yours does. You know the word it suggests to me? Wilderness. Odd word, but you know what? That is the other option. Being yielded to God or being in the wilderness. To be somewhere without purpose. Lost. Abiding in Christ. This is the process behind the dynamic of our relationship with God. If we are dependent on God for our needs, then abiding is the way to grow. Because it keeps us in touch. It's that back and forth. It's what pulls our focus back and back to the spiritual. Eternal thinking. This is thinking that goes beyond me to God. Beyond what's bothering me to what's wrong with the universe. Beyond what I want to what God's calling me to do. Works hand in hand with the other two. It is making our decisions, developing our values, setting the course of our lives in light of the reality of eternity and what's happening on that scale, what God's doing. Back to Peter here. Eternal thinking sees the importance of what we do. Look at the qualifiers he has. He lists some service things. Whatever gift you've received to serve others, he says the very first line, though at the top, offer hospitality to one another. But then he adds the qualifier, without grumbling. We have, if anyone speaks, they should do so, but as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Peter's loaded these things with qualifiers. The quality of what we do counts. It's important to do. The quality of it has a role here. God wants us to be the ones to deliver His grace to the person who needs it. There's a real gravity to this. Serving isn't just about how much we do, although that's a piece of it. God wants us to see things like He does, to think like He thinks. He wants us to serve in whatever capacity He calls us to so that He can create the eternal spiritual growth in other lives and in our lives too. The reason this is a stepping stone, eternal thinking, is because without that perspective, we're just not going to make every decision right in in what we're doing, how we spend the time in our lives, how we serve. Love for others. Christ said this is to exemplify our loves. By this shall all men know you are my disciples. People, as they watch us, should think right off, you know, that is one person who genuinely cares. Whenever I'm in a group with them, I feel like I'm recognized, that I matter. There's 100 other ways that love is expressed. But that's what should characterize our lives. That should be what people think of. Contentment. You know, Bill helped us understand in a recent message on contentment that it has a really elusive quality. You know, you can think you're content, but then, you know, it just, discontentment creeps in. Well, you know, it'd be better if it was this way. Bill has these little cards. I think they're still available on contentment, one on forgiveness, the last two messages he spoke. So his wife was showing me his contentment card that he did, which is a brilliant idea to have these both as a reminder to you and as potentially something that you could give to others or, you know, leave on a table or whatever. Excellent idea. So she's showing at this, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, yeah, that's really great. We could use the church website right here, down here. And man, it would be really great if the phone number was over here. And you know, what if he did this? And Josh pointed out, who was listening to this, he said, do you realize that we're looking at the card on contentment and we're not happy with it? We want to improve it. But it was a brilliant idea, even as it was. So if you want honest feedback, Josh is the man. All right, forgiveness. The last one I have on my list, but it's, again, I think these are key stepping stones. If contentment is remaining content in all our circumstances and moving closer to maturity in our relationship with God, forgiveness is, in a way, the flip side. If we can forgive in all circumstances, we're moving closer to full spiritual maturity in our relationship with others. And if you have that 1-2 punch going for you, you know, that's, you've got it. You're moving toward maturity. Do these stepping stones look at all familiar? I know for some of the speakers, they do. Because this has been the schedule, the very set of things that we've been speaking on for marks of maturity. There's the speaking schedule. These are the very things we've been trying to talk about and say, look, maturity here is you see people that are mature here, and we've tried to explain what that looked like, then that's the inspiration that we want you to have to work toward that. And each of the speakers have tried to bring this down to real practical terms as well. That means I'm short of practical still. So, if these are stepping stones, what can I say practically that may help us this morning about them? Well, how about, we've talked about what mature person looks like. We've talked about these stepping stones, these things that represent what mature people have, I don't want to use the word mastered, but you know what I mean. They're good at these things. They've worked on these things. God's worked on these things by throwing circumstances their way. How can I tell if I'm on track with them? Well, we've got some red flags for you. Red flags. You know what these are? These are, in the old days of mining, they would often take down into the mine with them these dirty, coal-covered miners, a nice little cage with a canary in it. That's because methane gas is something they'd run into. Methane gas, I believe, was odorless, and you know, it could overtake them and kill them. The purpose of the canary was that canary would die long before a human would be profoundly affected by the gas. So the canary served as that warning device, that red flag. If the canary died, let's move out of here fast and figure out what killed it. Because it was methane, that was a good move. These are red flags. If we see these in our lives, it's like seeing a dead canary. It's like, uh-oh, wait a minute. Let's stop for a minute and check it out. One that I'm going to suggest to you is looking for affirmation. If you find yourself looking for affirmation, or you find yourself feeling like, I need affirmation from others, it could be a red flag that says, this isn't 100% about Christ. Now, we're human beings, and we're put through problems and circumstances, and sometimes God... Well, we were just talking in our class about couples and how sometimes one member, if there's a long physical illness, one member of the couple has to sort of carry all of the love and care that couple usually shares together. They have to carry that responsibility. So those things happen. But if you find that this is a little nagging thing that keeps going, it's a theme in your life, that is a red flag because it gets in the way. It's suggestive that that God isn't the only one in the frame sometimes. Lack of contentment. Had to put that one there. That's a canary in the frame. Can you be content in all circumstances? Paul said he could. That's a mark of maturity, if you can say that. So if you don't have that, okay, what is it that, what's the issue there? What is it? Have I not yielded to God fully? Am I not abiding completely? Am I looking too narrowly at a little circumstance here when if I had an eternal perspective, it's like, yeah, that doesn't really matter. Worry, not resting, not just not resting in God and His grace and love for us, but it's taking on a burden of fretting, wondering if God's really got me covered. Holding a grudge. Boy, this one works right up against the stepping stone of forgiveness. Hard to hold a grudge and forgive at the same time. And then if service seems like a drudgery or a burden to you, boy, that just sounds like something you ought to question. Are you in the right area of your gift? Do you have an eternal perspective? Do you see that whatever you're doing, if it's service to God, if you're yielded to Him, if you're doing it in His strength, that God has given us the privilege of doing those things because that is giving out God's grace to other people. We're allowed to act on His behalf and give out grace. So if we don't have that, if things are a drudgery or a burden, maybe that's the thing. We've lost that picture, that sight of how weighty these things are. And so this is a start. We could go on and on. Jealousy, bad attitude, greed. You know, there's no limit to the creative ways humans find to fail at things. So we can't have a comprehensive list. But this is a start. And I think these all tie in and relate somewhat to the steps to maturity. What's important about these, most important thing about them, is they can prevent spiritual growth. The mature Christian who seriously pursues it and goes after these stepping stones and works to become more and more mature is the one who works to become proficient at those stepping stones. You know, it's really, really hard to forgive. But if you do it, and you do it in God's strength, and you start to see how this is an important part of living this life in these frail bodies, and an important part of God working through us in other people's lives, and we do it more and more, it becomes easier. That's true with all of these. Well, a mature person really has become proficient. Let me just end with this. Talking about one of my grandchildren. Probably a no-no for speaking. But these are three of my grandchildren. The little ones, not the two big ones. Kneeling down with number 8 on his jersey is my 8-year-old grandson, Stephen. Number 10 over on the far right, that's my 6-year-old grandson, James. And then the little lad sitting on the knee there is Joseph. Joseph was born with Down syndrome and a bunch of other stuff. It's like, what more can go wrong in this kid's life? Joseph doesn't walk. He crawls around. He's at the stage where he gets himself up and can hold on to things and sort of, but he's been doing that for a good while now. Can't fully enunciate. His word, probably in the neighborhood of 60 or 80 words. Signs, probably another 100 words. He hovered near death for nearly a year after he was born. He spent more than 1 year in a, what doctors called, failure to thrive condition, which not only this combination of problems not only have delayed his developmental stage, but it also delays the progress at which he develops. So he's developing slower than a typical child, and he's been delayed in what stage he's in. He sort of gives you the impression of about an 18-month-old, maybe a 20-month-old. He's 4 years old. Those problems served to hold him back, delay him, slow him down from reaching maturity. We don't know what the future holds for Joseph, but the point is, it's already had this profound impact to his maturity. Thriving as a Christian, developing maturity, we can be delayed if we don't get proficient at, master those stepping stones, if we get caught up in any of those red flags. And spiritually, we can end up not far enough along in our stage and progressing more slowly than we should. So these stepping stones are important. It's important to keep our eye on what God, how God is displaying this standard out here. I want you to be like Christ. And none of us are going to fully realize that this side of heaven. But it's a standard God wants us to mature toward. And that's what 1 Peter, I think, is trying to communicate. And that's what maturity and service looks like. And how we can get there and how we can be careful to continue to thrive. Let's pray. Lord, what an awesome privilege it is just to be your child, but also that you want us to grow and mature into the likeness of your dear Son. And that in that process, you want to use us. You want us to be at your work. You want us to be doing things that are going to result in grace being given to other people, that they will be able to grow spiritually because of the work you do in them, because of what we do in service. Lord, thank you for that awesome privilege, for that tremendous responsibility. Help us to stay out of the frame. Everything that we do in your strength, we really have to credit you, and we do. We give you all the honor and the glory. We thank you for the promise that you're going to keep those things which he committed to you until that day. And we know you're going to perform and complete the work in our lives and the work in the other lives here in this room. We thank you in your name. Amen.